Welcome to Your Typical Shonen Protagonist, the Overpowered Underdog Podcast. He's Kai, I'm Kels, and welcome back. This week, we're talking Girls und Panzer. Kai, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm vibing, you know. Well, July hasn't been so bad, knock on wood, it's not over yet, but it hasn't been so bad.
Yeah. We've been on a whole deal with a lot of large shows recently. So we, you know, covered Yu-Gi-Oh, we covered Digimon Season 1, and it's time for a break. And that break comes in the form of sort of a fluff show in Girls und Panzer. It's fun. It's got a story that you can care about as deeply as you want. But you put it on and you enjoy what's happening. And at the end of the day, you're like, I don't know what happened, but I had a good time.
Yeah. And, you know, it definitely was something like, to me, it wasn't as brain numbing as I guess one would like, because I was like, it was interesting because I enjoyed the history of it behind everything and just kind of the battle tactics and whatnot. So I'm like, I thought it would be something I could just kind of like vibe to mindlessly, but it was actually really intriguing, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And the reason it works is, one, the show takes itself seriously. Like, it's not a comedy show. It's in terms of, we're going to make fun of the fact that all of this is dumb, like Shin-Chan, you know?
Yeah.
It takes the world and how it all works very seriously, which is why it works, you know? And the investment put into the specificity of the tanks and the battle strategy, it goes a long way to making this a fun and quality show, you know?
Yeah, it really does. And then, like, just to see kind of how the society of this anime is what really got me. First episode, it's about a school who, or just overall premise, is in high school. It's like these all-girls schools, because I didn't see a single male, even though they never really said it was an all-girls high school, but I didn't see any men. I guess it is Girls Academy, so that answers that question. But you just kind of see that they have all these different electives and everything, and then tankery is, like, really big. Like, the main character, Miho, goes to this school just because they don't have tankery. And then they're like, guess what? We got tankery. And then they show, like, this clip. It was like, do you want to be the perfect wife, or do you want to be a strong leader, or do you want a grace and precision? You can get all that inside of a tank.
Man, this propaganda scene got me. I'm like, wait a minute. I understand exactly what they're doing here. They're trying to indoctrinate these little girls.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to tell the story somehow. Hell yeah.
So it was really interesting. Because especially before Miho's main character and her two friends are like, yeah, you know, I don't want to do this. I don't want to, you know. The main character's like, I'm not here for this. And the other two girls are like, yeah, you know, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. Like, it's fine. We got you. We support you. And then they go and see the propaganda video at the assembly. And then the girls, her friends are like, yeah, so tankery or die. Like, let's do this. And you have one friend who's like obsessed with like boyfriends and all that. And the other friend's like kind of just crazy, I guess. Or like, I don't know what she is.
So the other friend is coming from sort of like a more noble family, and the whole, okay, you are skilled in flower arrangements, and we have a special technique of flower arranging, and that's what you're going to pursue. You know, that's what like the family's telling her. And then she's like, I'm going to go drive some tanks. Yeah. But that doesn't jive with the family vibe. So, you know, that's the whole thing with her other friend.
Yeah. So, and then they're like, yeah, you know what? I know we said we weren't going to do this, but let's go do tankery and all that. And this is where I was really like, because the girl's like, no, I'm not going to do tanking. I'm going to do like incense or something. And then the student council's like, yo, you got to do this. Like, you have to do tankery. Like, you come from a prestigious family of tankeries, so you got to do this. And she's like, no, I don't want to. I was like, okay, well, it'd be a shame if you, like, got kicked out of this academy, you know, because we make that happen. And then, like, it's just, like, a whole type of gang mentality, because the vice president's like, why would you do this? Why would you not be? And that just kind of, like, rubbed me the wrong way.
Sure. And it's meant to. And looking back right now, I'm suddenly realizing why they said what they said, right? We're going to circle back to this at the end when we reveal why this threat was issued. But there was no way around it. If she didn't compete, she would, in fact, not be able to go to school there anymore.
Yeah.
Now, is that the student president's, like, ability to make that decision? I don't know. But the long and short of it is, if they don't do really well in tankery, our main character will not be going to school here next year.
Yeah. So, she joins. In the second episode, you see them, they go and they get their tanks and everything, and they're like going through this old shed and they're looking at the tanks and whatnot, and then they start to like fix it up and everything, and then everybody's like clueless about tank knowledge, and then Miho's like, what's that?
I love the fact that, all right, so, you know, this is an old school, they haven't had tankery for a while, and they've got to work with whatever they can find. There are tanks around the school grounds.
I love that scavenger hunt type thing.
Yes. But all of them are mildly in disrepair. And when we wind up at, like, the garage, and we see the first tank, and Miho walks in and is like, hey, the tread's still good. I think we can work with this. And we see the treads just whole ass falling off this tank. I'm like, all right, this is my life.
She's like, the armor's good, and then Trent's there. And then, yeah, no.
And then it's just zoom out on this broke ass tank. I'm just like, you know what? Maybe I can too.
You can. You know, you just gotta, be the tank that you know you can be.
My God. Thomas the Tank Engine. Anyways, so they search around the school grounds and they scrounge together like five tanks, and they're all mismatched. But this is where we really get into the fact that each of these tanks is very specific. Like, all right, this is a Mark V Panzer, or like a Mark VII, and like a Tiger or something. Very real specific things that each variation of these tanks did exist, and somebody cares about this. And I appreciate the fact that this detail is put into this show, because without it, you lose half of what makes this show interesting.
True. Like, you see, and this is when they start going out, and, you know, they have like the battle testing and figuring out, like, I think this is the mock battle they have. Or is that episode 3?
I think the first real... So they do some training.
Yeah.
And then the first real battle they have is like an off-the-books sparring session with another school, which isn't like...
It's
basically, it's Britain. Yeah. And we're going to go through all of the big countries that made tanks through this show. But the first school is like representative of Great Britain.
Yeah. And so before that, though, we see, because though one of the big things is that some of these tanks are understaffed, because the main character's team, which is, I think, like Team Anglerfish, which is formed in Team 2, which is basically our main characters. And you have the Miho and her two friends, and then you have a third girl who joins, whose name escapes me.
So off the top, we've got Miho, we've got Sayori Takebe, we've got Hana Isuzu, Yukari, and we've got Mako. Which one are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of the one that joined later.
The one that's all hype about tanks or the one that sleeps in all the time?
The one that's all hype about tanks, because she joins before the one that sleeps all the time.
The one that's hype about tanks is Yukari.
Yes, Yukari. So, Yukari joins the fray, and she is like, hey, you know, I've got... She's like the hyper... She's basically the one who has the second most knowledge behind Miho about this. So this, you can already see this is shaping up to be the strongest team, because I've got the person who was born into it, and then I've got the person who's like all spirited about it and is very knowledgeable. And the other thing that gets me is like, there's a whole ass tank store, man. Like,
oh yeah. So tankery is this big sport in the world we're dealing with, you know, which is absolutely crazy. So it's like soccer or rugby, but with tanks. And it's not, it's certainly war based, but it's got so much sportsmanship around it. In fact, when later on we deal with a team that sort of cheats, like their leader is like, no, we're going to hold back some of our tanks to make sure that this is a level playing field, to make sure that we can keep some manner of respect for the game. And so there's tankery shops, like you would have sports apparel shops, which is crazy.
Yeah, and like it's just, you go in and you see like there are sims, like a sim for tanks, and then there's like just armor and uniforms and things like that, and it's crazy. Like it's a whole like Dick's Sporting Goods full of tanks,
which is hype. It builds the world like this is real and it's important to the people watching it.
Yeah, and Yuhari's basically talks about the tank's characteristics and. Just kind of gives like she's the background knowledge person, and then you also see after this you see, this is where they kind of form whose tank is which tanks. So, Team Anglerfish, which is Miho's team, gets Panzer 4 or Panzer 5.
Panzer 5.
Panzer 5.
Or Panzer 4. You're right.
Yeah, Panzer 4. And her friends, and they form officially Team Angerfish. And then you have the volleyball team, and then you have the history team and the student council team. And I think it's just a what was the other team? It was just history team, volleyball team, and student council team. Yeah, I think that's all of them. History, volleyball, and freshman.
There was also the general girly girl team. That was taking the large tank that could fit, you know, six people in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, them as a group were a character.
Yeah, it was interesting.
But, I mean, even in the way they break down the teams, like, you've got a variety that would be in a school, you know, other than, like, the real history cosplay nerds. It's a diverse group. And the fact that the volleyball team was like, hey, we're going to play Panzer tankery because they defunded the volleyball team and we will get it back.
Yeah, like that was really cool. I really did like the different factions in the tankery team. Like it wasn't just like people who, like, everybody kind of had their own reasons for doing tankery. Which yeah. I really enjoyed that it wasn't just like some typical like tanks are cool, like we all love tanks. It's like no, tanks are a means to an end for some people. Really for everyone.
And just the variety of the team really felt like the whole school was pulling together.
Yeah.
Which you didn't see in the other schools that we're competing against.
Yeah. And so some people have like gaps in, so we've got four of the five people needed to manage the Panzer 4 on Team Anglerfish. So, you know, they're thinking about making it work with just the four and how that would happen and everything. And then we see another character who we kind of saw in the first episode who was, like, reading and everything. We see Riza-san or Raisi-san? What? Why did I call her Raisi-san? The girl that always sleeps. Mako.
Mako Raisi.
Yeah, Mako Raisi. Who is basically kind of like narcoleptic. She's always sleeping.
Low blood pressure. She has hypotension.
Yes. She's very docile. I really liked her character because she's
absolute genius.
Yeah.
Terrible with, you know, actually living life.
Yeah. Which, I don't know. I feel like I relate to that. Well, no, I'm not terrible at living life, but you know what I mean. It's just like, it's cool when you just see absolute geniuses who has their things that make them human as well.
Yes. Like, it's not a bulletproof person. Like, there are problems. It's just the greatness and the problems come together. So it's incredibly interesting to see.
Yeah, because she's just like kind of chilling out on the like ground. And they're like, oh, God, you know, like she almost gets ran over is how she gets inducted into the tank. So they're like, yo, like we ain't got time for this. So they go and put her in the tank. And they're like, hey, here's a manual. And she just basically reads the first few lines of it. And it's like, yeah, I got this. Like,
yeah, so this is how we get our driver. The flower arranging girl, whose name is Hana Isuzu, was the driver to begin with.
Yeah.
But as soon as we got Mako, she became the gunner. And then Yukari was the loader. Saoi became the communicator, leaving Miho to be the brains of the entire operation.
Yeah. Which is, now we have a full team, and this is also the episode where we see the customization that goes in these tanks, which is really interesting because...
Yes. The fact that they all paint their tanks individually and decorate them.
Yeah.
It doesn't work for, you know, specific strategy reasons, but it, boy, sure is personalized.
Yeah, like, you've got the history team, who I believe has the red crazy tank. Like, the...
I think so, yes.
Yeah, and then you've got the... there's, like, the normal team, who just is just pink. It's just, like, a pink tank. And everybody's, like, decorated except for Miho's team. It's really just, like... There's some touches to it, but it's really just kind of like...
They're all on the inside. Like, yeah. A pillow and, like, a picture to make it more, like, homey on the inside. But the outside is left pretty much just rust gray.
Yeah, they, like, make sure it works and everything. And but they don't do anything, like, really spectacular to it. And that was interesting to me. So I was like, okay. And just Miho sticking more to that, like, I guess, traditional style of tankery.
Sure. And she knows the reason why, right? She's not going to tell the other teams, hey, don't do this, because she's trying to find a way for her to enjoy tankery too. Because Miho's whole situation is she's from this prestigious family who has, like, the winningest style of tankery ever. But she has an accident. We find out later what exactly happens, but we'll talk about it now. So we get some flashbacks where she's, like, drowning in a tankery accident. But we find out how we got there. So one of her comrades' tanks falls in the water. And her being the commander, you know, okay, well, that's unfortunate. You just got to move on. But she doesn't. She jumps out of her own tank into the water to make sure that her people who are, you know, in the water to make sure that they don't drown.
Yeah.
And that's her bad experience, which is what put her off of tankery entirely, because there was no remorse from her family. It's you lost, and this is why, because you had, you know, remorse and concern. So she left and was like, I'm not going to do tankery, and then she gets suckered into tankery. But the whole story here is, how does she find her own way to enjoy the sport?
Yeah, which is her basically playing it her way, like with her friends enjoying it and not being, you know, super focused on winning, I guess. But
the thing here is she's not focused on the formula of winning. The reason she winds up successful, you know, with her team over all of these other schools is because she's adaptive. She knows the way to win, but it's not A plus B equals C. It's what's the current situation and how do we get ourselves out? Which makes her, you know, adaptable, winning against the known formulas. And there are times where they come close to not winning, which is the exciting part.
Yeah.
But,
and then we, after this, we really get into the battles and with the other schools. Like, each school represents, like you said earlier, a different country that was involved in
World War II.
Yeah, World War II. And, you know, our team, or our main character's team, is Japan.
And then, I'm thinking, because I don't have any real information on it.
Yeah. I mean, I would say so. I haven't
done a lot of research.
Because...
But, I would say so as well. Continue.
Yeah. Just for the mere fact that we don't go against a different Japan in the series. We go against America, Britain, or Great Britain. I'll make sure I call it the correct thing. Russia and Germany. France. Yeah, Germany and France.
I don't think we come up to France yet.
Okay, then Germany.
But definitely Germany. Germany's the family of you know, winners.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would probably put this team as Japan as well, mainly because their whole team has been defunded. They haven't done tankery for years, and they are all just Japanese schoolgirls with nothing else to scream, we are someone different. Which is interesting, because the whole thing here is a conversation about World War II and tanks in a setting that is separate from, you know, tragedies and atrocities.
Yeah.
So, which is, you know, tough to do, and there's a line to walk, and it's important to recognize both. But for a veg out show like this, in my opinion, you know, it's an interesting subject matter to keep your mind thinking about. How do other cultures see what has happened in the world?
Yeah, no, man. It's, and I gotta say, this was a really fun series. I don't know. I'm still on the fence of how I feel about it. I don't know if I could say it was like fun. It was something that I didn't expect, I gotta say. And it was more developed as I went on. I would say it's indeed a series that if you like history, or if you like
tanks,
if you like tanks,
or schoolgirls,
yeah, true. Like schoolgirls and tanks. This is a really good genre. It's not a shonen, which I liked. I'm glad they didn't go the shonen route. Like, I'm going to be the best tanker in the dang world with my tank friends. Like, it was more so of just, like, it is what it is. And, yeah, I really liked how each school was representative of the countries and had those aspects, like, in how the names of the tanks were accurate to a degree of...
And also, where the fighting was going on. So when we were dealing with Russia, they were fighting in the snow, and the Russians had the super advantage. But because they underestimated our underdog team, they got wrecked. But it was only after they had them all surrounded in this abandoned church, you know, and they had to do this embarrassing dance to get morale up. And that's also where we find out the reason why they were blackmailing Miho into doing tankery. It's not because they wanted her to, you know, if she didn't, she'd actually not have a school to go to. It's because if they didn't and they didn't win, no one would have a school to go to. So this school was being defunded. And at the end of the year, if they didn't get this money from winning this championship, no one would be able to go to this school. And also, all of these schools are on aircraft carriers.
Yeah.
By the way.
Like, huge aircraft carriers. So it's... Well, not about...
You can fit a whole city plus a tankery range. It's ridiculous. But you know what? I guess it's fun.
Yeah. So... Sorry, go ahead.
I would say that I enjoyed this show. It was everything that you want to be fun in a show. And, you know, you've got the lunacy of tanks being a sports game and schoolgirls being the ones to play it. But it wasn't super fan service-y.
Yeah. I don't think I think we had like a bathhouse episode, but I don't even know if you consider that fan service.
Yep. There was them washing the tanks with the one girl that wore a bikini that wasn't even, you know, scandalous. And then the whole bathhouse scene with nothing really being shown. It was more about morale than it was all of these girls are naked. But hey, you know, got to get your fan service somewhere. And with it not being every episode, I was like, all right, hell yeah, let's play some tanks.
Yeah. And I enjoy that. Like I said, I enjoy the tank combat, like, and the strategy of it. It was overall, I'd say I enjoyed it. Like, and, you know, I would probably watch the movie.
Yeah, I would probably watch the OVA, too, just to figure out what is the next play. Because I think it's Italy, from what the images of the team looks like. It's a half-cut-up pizza.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'd be interested to find out what happens there. But in your sort of mindless fluff to go watch and zone out to, like, what do you put on?
I put on, really just, I just watch harem animes. Like, to be honest with you, either harem animes or...
So you want all the fan service. I'm getting that out.
Not even that. Just something like mindless, like one of the ones that I'll watch when I need kind of just like downtime or just pointlessness. Mm-hmm. Like I would say would be either like a 12 episode isekai or something, or yeah, because one of the ones that I watched was like Children Come from Extraordinary World. It had like a weird title, but I watched that.
There's loads of those, you know,
yeah,
that are fitting right in that zone.
Yeah, I watch like generic things that like I won't have to be too intrigued into. Like I don't have to like think about anything. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, all of those from like a season and a half ago that have those really long titles, those stick out to me like right in the domain.
Yeah, like
the time I was reincarnated as a slime.
Well, that's actually
I'm sure it's. Really?
Yeah, I need to watch that, actually. I was going to suggest that we should watch that, because have you watched it?
No, I haven't.
I was going to suggest we should do that on a podcast one day, actually.
Yes, put it on the list.
Yeah.
Also, one in that wheelhouse is also probably the Do You Like My Mom super critical two-hit combo attack?
Yeah.
Or Should I Try to Hook Up with Somebody in a Dungeon?
Yeah, Girls in a Don Manchi is actually current on that. It's... I don't know, man. It's hit or miss. First season was good. Didn't really like the second. The movie was okay. So we'll see what
the... Now we're getting real critical of stuff that's just supposed to be, you know, fun. But, yeah. I mean, you know, that is what it is. A lot of stuff is not meant to be your critically acclaimed show. You know, some of the stuff is meant to sell tickets. It's meant to move product.
Yeah, man.
And, you know... As long as you understand what the purpose and the premise is, enjoy it.
True. I Show 21 is a good one that I watched. It's actually a football anime. Haikyuu is another one. Like, I also watch sports anime if I need something to kind of just take away from. But Haikyuu actually turned out to be one of the best animes I've watched. So
I recommend that. I have not seen it, but I know that it's good.
Manga just ended today, actually.
Really?
Yep.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't we hear Prince of Tennis coming back, or am I imagining that?
I feel like we did, but we also could be imagining that. I don't know.
We'll have to verify. But, you know, sports anime, we'll have to pick one of those up. Hopefully that's not 400 episodes long.
Yeah.
But we'll put that on the list as well. We're coming up towards October. I got to keep reminding myself. I need to sit down and look at the calendar. But... We're talking about doing Trigun next. And probably after that, we'll pick up a sports anime. The easiest one to do is probably Haikyuu.
Yeah. Haikyuu does have four seasons, though. I just want to let you know that.
Oh, my God. And I know they go through so much in the show. I mean, they win, they lose, things burst into flames. It's tragic.
It's great, though. I mean, if you want to do it, I recommend. Also, I'd say, if you're looking for just like a condensed one, we could do Keijo.
Oh, my God. I was going to go with Megalobox, but
let's do Megalobox.
I have not watched Keijo. We'll have to make a video about that. That'll get some views.
Side note, Megalobox just got confirmed for season 2. Like,
really?
Yeah.
My God.
I'm ready.
Well, I'm so ready too. I'm curious what that's going to be like, because Megalobox came out of nowhere and it ended so well. So I don't know what season 2 is going to look like.
Like, I don't know. I know it was set up to have an OVA or something. But, yeah. So we'll see what happens and what that pertains to.
Yeah. But we'll keep y'all abreast what we're doing, what we're going to be watching. We're coming up on time, so let's wrap it up. You can catch this product, Your Typical Shonen Protagonist, on iTunes, on Spotify, wherever you like to get your podcasts. If you want to know when we release stuff, which is definitely Monday, follow, push, subscribe, whatever we're doing, hit that button. Make sure you're checking out the new stuff when it comes out. You can also catch us on Twitter at YourTSP, that's URTSP, where we do dumb stuff like watch Girl Zoom Panzer before we're supposed to.
Yeah. Fun times.
And you got a Twitter too.
Yeah, you can find me at Static Dreads with a Z. Let me know that you popped over from the podcast and, let's talk. Let's talk about anime and, be more active. I'm making a schedule for myself so I can be the best me I can be. So, yeah. Come.
He wants to be the very best.
No one
ever was.
The dandy.
Pokemon to understand the power that's inside Pokemon. We'll catch y'all next week when I can remember the song lyrics in the right order. All here on Your Typical Shonen Protagonist.
Peace.